This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
And I'm Mike Beats.
Boy, John, you sounded loud. And Mr. Palmer...
That's because I dramatically put the microphone up to my face.
get it out of your face. Put it back where it belongs. Chris is not with us tonight, although Chris is...
Sounded very final, man.
Yeah, he's with us. He's just not
here. He's no longer with us. No, he could not make it tonight, but I do have his... posting. That's one of the things I want to talk about, is posting on the January-February topic. But we were just saying before we got started, after a lot of technical difficulties, that we have not done this for a long time for one reason or another. I think for a while we sort of ran out of things to say. But
yeah, we can only get mad about judges not showing up and wanting to get out of their obligations.
I mean, the thing is, no matter, it never gets old in real life. I had the very worst tournament ever in the end of December, where it's a four-round tournament that I was only able to run three rounds, and at least one kid had three byes. That is like, you can't do any better than that.
I think you're fired from that tournament.
No, I fired the field. I fired everybody. I came up with all new rules and all this kind of stuff. But, it's the same old, but it was a perfect storm of all the things that can go wrong, going wrong. So it goes. But I have worked it out, though, and I told John today that I've managed to work everything out that usually it's his fault, unless Abdul is around, and then it's Abdul's fault. So I'm pretty much blameless in anything that ever goes wrong, which works well for me. Yeah, no question. But anyhow, the thing I wanted to... getting back together again, this has been kicking around for a while, and I have some questions on this, but just to summarize, the January-February LD topic, which is about domestic abuse, has obviously stirred up a lot of resistance to literally arguing this topic, saying essentially that we shouldn't argue this topic. And I will admit, because having personally sort of removed myself a little from LD, I literally only have one LD-er now, a novice, that I'm just training. And in fact, she just joined the team and I'm training her on this topic, which has been an interesting start. And so I sort of felt a little bit personally out of the field of fire on this. But Mike, you had sent me something. You sent me the earliest thing I saw on this. You were writing up something about this for the NFL or something like that.
Yeah, I think that some of the initial outrage about it was a disappointment that it wasn't the targeted killing topic. I think lots of people wanted a foreign policy topic, and it didn't happen, so people were like, well, we don't want to do this one. I didn't like targeted killing. I had previously been complaining to someone just the day before it came out, hoping it wasn't going to be targeted killing, but I didn't really want this topic either. But I guess there's, from changes in my own life and things that have happened, and just maybe being a little more thoughtful. Although even back when the last time we debated this was maybe in 2006, and in the Victor Breeze book, I even put something up front about telling people that that it's very likely that either the person you're debating or your judge or someone. I truly think it's probably less likely that you won't debate or be judged by someone who isn't personally affected by this issue than it would not be. I think it's one of those things that's so personal and so private, and so everyone deals with it on their own terms and needs to deal with it on their own terms, to turn it into this game seemed more personal than usual. Yes, I think that issues of everything, probably there are some people in our activity that have to deal with economic sanctions, you know, if their families are from another country or poverty or any of those sorts of things. But it's I think it's something way more personal, especially when and I was talking to my own kids about it that today, even a little bit more about it, that it's just one of those really sort of, it's not the sort of, there's nothing real political about it in the sense that it's not like how a government treats its people. It's not about how, but it's about, you know, it just takes so many, it's such a messed up thing because it's ostensibly there's love, this person that you love or that is supposed to love you, and they're, you know, and there's this violence, and there's, it's just, it deals with so much in terms of pretty, I guess, raw and at the same time sophisticated, I guess, emotion that for people to try to parse out that, you know, some people never get over it in their entire lives, and then to force it as something that we are not only going to be debating about, but that we get wins and losses over it, and that we use strategy, and even from a even if everyone tries to be as nice as possible and doesn't and is not an asshole about it, you know, it still requires someone to have to deal with it, and they may not be ready to deal with it yet. And
I can't imagine anyone, a teenager, guess how old could they possibly be and how long could it have lasted to be ready to deal with it.
I know, and you know, unless it's one of those things that they're sort of in the open about anyway, but even then, even when people are like, because some people that I had talked with are like, well, this is good, it brings it out in the open, and I'm like, yes, that's good, but people need to do this on, no one should be forced to bring it out into the open or have to talk about these sorts of things when they're, you know, going home to it, or have had to, or whatever. And you know, I know when I mean, I'm even probably on my own team, there are kids that are dealing with it, you know? Yeah, I just, you know, I guess it's unfortunate. Yes, I think that the NFL probably couldn't do anything about it. Like, I thought I made a pretty decent case, even though I didn't want to debate targeted killing, as to why it might be a better topic, that being at least we would then still be talking about the same area in that, you know, because, I mean, when it comes down to it, this, you know, I think Scott Phillips from the Meadows mentioned it, that this is targeted killing. I mean, it's what we're talking about. It's the idea that, well, the argument I made was that it's the idea that, can we take someone's life, a specific person's life, for, is it ever justifiable to take a specific person's life? That's the heart of the question, I guess.
Well, that's the heart of maybe the targeted killing question. It's not the heart of this. This is very specific. So I don't see this resonating beyond itself. This, to me, is not about anything except the resolution. There's no, and you said this at the beginning to some extent. I mean, it doesn't have a great connect. You don't learn anything from this. It's not about society versus individuals.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not about any of that kind of stuff.
Anything. I don't understand.
You don't get, there's no depth to it. I mean, yeah, you can learn about this subject, but you can't learn about anything beyond this subject.
I don't agree
debating
with
this subject.
I just want to say that, first off, I had an interesting conversation with one of my debaters, Zeke Rosenberg, yesterday. Zeke is one of my top debaters this year, and has informed me that he will not be doing LD on this topic. And he did go to camp in policy as well as LD. He might do some policy tournaments. He's going to do some PF tournaments, and he's chosen that to not debate this topic. He doesn't want to. And so we talked about that for a while. I agree with a lot of things that Beats just said before, but I'm not sure that I agree with Jim with the idea that this is, that you can't, that there's a wide variety of things to learn about on this topic. Actually, before I even say more, what do you mean by that?
I mean that it doesn't connect. I mean, all right, let me take what I always consider the classic topic of all, which was the bad government versus no government. Okay. Yeah. If I'm going to study that topic, the grounds of learning are endless. Also, they're very essential for, and they're very elementary. So I'm going to learn about elementary ideas about government, and I'm going to learn very complex ideas about government. I can go anywhere I want to go. I can look at it 10,000 ways, and it connects to everything else I'll ever do in this area. It connects to the next topic and the last topic, and it connects to my philosophy studies and so forth and so on. Whereas this particular topic doesn't do that. It doesn't even come close to doing it. It's like the antithesis.
This topic is talking about like rights of the individual.
I don't think it is at all.
I kind of agree with Jim on this. I don't know if it's because the way I likened it a little bit when I was when we were talking about it is if I kick a dog. And the dog bites me back. Like, that's what this topic is. It's that, what? Can do we call that dog wrong? Do we say that dog shouldn't have tried to defend itself? That to me, that's where, like, every single being has a different reaction to what extent they'll go to protect themselves, and it's just the volumes of that's written on, you know, on domestic violence is so much, I guess, scientific and in the books about what, you know, in terms of how all, even if the violence isn't happening right at the moment, just what it is to live in that, just. There's no distinction between the immediacy of being hit at the moment and being hit tomorrow or being hit in an hour or being hit in 3 weeks. There's no, like, the research is pretty clear on all that stuff, and it's how a person reacts to save themselves in that situation. It's not even like it, to me. There's not the to try to apply a moral aspect onto it. To me, is it's nonsensical.
Okay, I have a question. Sorry to interrupt. I just have a question that is bothering me, and it's just because I can't figure out the answer to this. Why was this topic acceptable in the past and is no longer acceptable?
Oh, I don't think it was. I'm not necessarily sure that it was acceptable.
But people weren't. That didn't seem to be. And I could be wrong. I mean, maybe I'm just not remembering this correctly, but it didn't seem like that this reaction existed in the past. Do we think it's just that people are more vocal about it now? And if so, why? Why are they more vocal about it now?
In the past, I don't believe in the past there was probably the same. In the past, there probably wasn't as much of the people that were vocal. I mean, I just don't. I don't. And people didn't think that they had. The ability to
you never really felt that you had forums to speak up and say everybody said that topic sucks, blah, blah, blah.
I think every issue in LD has become more contentious. Why didn't we used to talk about time, what the LD times were, and why didn't we talk about probably every topic?
I think that's really with due respect to people who I think, including one of my own students, who I feel have legitimate moral obligations, moral objections to this topic. I dare say that a lot of the problems here come with people feeling that they can't, that indeed the topic is narrow, and in fact that there's now an expectation that you should be able to run anything on a topic, and that when it's more narrow, that it's a.
But there's two different things here. I mean, the fact that the topic may be good or bad, narrow or deep, is simply an evaluation of the topic. Like I would evaluate any topic. The other thing, I mean, that just says, okay, I don't like this topic because, I mean, there's been a lot of topics that don't go anywhere, and this one doesn't go anywhere. The problem is where this does go is very, very difficult for people who are, in fact, there. I think we need to separate those two things. So it's not a question of whether this topic is good or bad as a debate topic. I mean, as a debate topic, I think it's dreadful. But that's not the point, or that's just a different point. I mean, the point is, as should it be something that gets debated is a different question. Now, the fact that we may not have thought about it before, and as you were saying this, I mean, we did have the only forums that we had were relatively contained. And now you have somebody, you have like Chris Palmer blogging about it, or Mike or myself, you know, and we have, so the level of discourse changes. So it's not just a lot of kids or maybe a couple of college judges or something. The whole community gets to chime in and gets to be heard. And so
I wonder how many people more outside the national circuit are actually making these arguments. I'm just saying, I say that with respect and with acknowledgement. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think quite a few. The entire, I mean, the entire, there are some districts there's a district in Colorado that has said they're not going to use it. Letters were written on behalf of the teachers in that district, or the debate coaches in that district. And the NFL eventually, have said that that districts can opt out of it. I think that there was enough of a. I don't think that the NFL necessarily, bends over backwards for the national circuit when it comes to issues of Lincoln Douglas debate, and the fact that they, after saying they weren't going to change it, gave the option for districts not to use it, when I think that it is a district rule that you have to use the topic that is that for those 2 months. They gave the districts options not to use it.
You mean in the district tournament?
The district tournament, indicates that it was more than just a national circuit thing, I think.
No, fair. I should say at this point two things for the sake of full disclosure. First off, I was on the wording committee this year, so I'm biased, I guess. And then the other thing is that I'm biased in another way, and this is why some people, I think, were surprised that I was not more vocal about my objection to this topic or whatever, but I think that's because of the first disclosure. But the second disclosure is that I was very active in overturning that public forum debate resolution about the Muslim Community Center. And so it's – I don't want to – I feel like I'm coming across as not being sympathetic to the arguments people are making. I am being sympathetic to the arguments people are making. I do suspect that there are some, not Beats, not the people in Colorado, not my student, not others, but I suspect that some of this objection is coming from people who really wanted the targeted killings topic. And I wonder how many people – I'm curious to know how many schools actually voted for in this topic selection process, because a lot of people complain about topics – choose not to participate in the topic selection process.
How you vote stinks. I mean, I don't know if I voted or I honestly don't know. I probably didn't. I mean, you have to send it in by what, mail or fax?
Do it electronically now.
Oh, great.
But the information I've gotten on it was that it was primarily in the Midwest that this topic was overwhelmingly chosen. Was something like got 80 votes. I forget what the number. I'm making this up.
If but, only 80 schools are voting, that is a serious
problem. No, got 80 votes for being the topic. But we know that it's not that many people vote. You know, it's never.
I think that there was a time when under 40 schools were
voting. Yeah, I mean, the 80, to me, 80 was a revelation that we had gotten that many actually interested in it because of the thing. But I think that's, you know, the fact that some people might have preferred another topic is almost beside the point. I mean, there's always been a bunch of people that complain about, you know, the topics for whatever reasons, for competitive reasons, circuit people, whatever. But and that's, you know, that's fine. Yeah, we're used to that by now. They can complain all they want. Nothing ever happens. But I think there's another issue here. I went through this last night. I mean, I had a meeting last night. I'm talking to a kid I don't know this girl at all. I literally don't know this girl. I know this girl for like 3 weeks. I've met her. I spent 3 hours with this person. I have no idea. And, you know, in a debate meeting, I'm going to throw anything that comes out of my head. We're brainstorming and we're saying things. And, you know, the idea that I might say something that hurts this child is, I don't like that. And that's not going to happen in most topics, you know, but here, there, you know, I could be causing inadvertently, you know, I don't want to do it, obviously, but I wouldn't even know I'm doing it, you know, it's that sort of thing. And much less the idea of putting the person into a competitive situation where that's just going to be the nature of the beast. Now, I don't have any idea what the statistics are in terms of how many people are being abused and so forth and so on, and how many people are being abused who happen to be debaters. And it could only be one person. It doesn't matter. You know, the fact is right. that one person is enough. Do I want to harm one child for the sake of this topic? If this topic were the world's greatest topic, and I love the topic, I would be, feel exactly the same way. That, you know, if a topic is going to cause harm, and we can very clearly see the harm that it can cause. I mean, there's no question that it could. Then what do we do in that situation? Should we debate it? That's a tough, tough question. That's a really tough question. I think that's the question that's raised by this topic.
Especially, and it's the moral aspect of it is virtually not researchable. There is just, it's not a topic that, I mean, and this again goes to, you know, because of what it is, it's not a issues of self-defense, issues of, those all stem from, you know, social contract arguments and arguments about, you know, a bar fight and the immediacy of it all. And this realm because there's no specified there's so little specification, but at the same time there's specification, like, it's very difficult. Like, everything that's written is about the legality of it,
it's a legal issue
and legal standards and those sort, because I think that there's no question about the morality or the immorality in terms of for that person, how they're feeling at that moment. It's not in the literature. It's not a academic debate topic. Yes, I mean, I happen to be one of the people that gets, you know, given the topic of 10 when they come out, and it could have been brought up then. And so in terms of the changing, I 100% am sympathetic with the NFL. I'm sympathetic.
Yeah, I don't blame the NFL on this at all.
I'm sympathetic with people who are like, hey, this was what it was, or this was on the topic list, and, you know, all those things. One, I didn't expect anything different. Change is hard, and I think all the arguments about how there were opportunities that the ballot was out for months where something could have been said about it, and yes, absolutely.
Well,
all those things are true, and to me, you know, 100%, I can appreciate the need for us to have systems, and for us to have organizations, and for us to have processes in place and all those sorts of things, and institutions and respecting those institutions, such as the Democratic vote that was taken for this topic, 100%. But I don't think that means that I have to stay quiet about it. I don't think that means that I have forfeited the right to say, hey, we shouldn't be doing this, and hey, I'm going to try to change it. But I think I can do it from a reasonable standpoint, and 100% respect the other side, and be mature about it, and I think that discourse in itself is probably good, even if nothing comes of it.
But we have a situation now where we've had two topics in relative short time frame that have had very serious reactions from people. I mean, the PF topic on the Islamic Center and this one. And I think, as you're talking, I mean, I think part of what happens, I mean, topics are announced early on, like the LD topic. Okay, we get a list. I look at this list, and I blog about the list. But you don't think it through, because it's just this list in a very, you know, airy kind of potential future way. And some of the things, I look at them and say, well, it's just, nobody's ever going to vote for this. And then the next thing I know, it's a resolution, you know, like, yeah. I can't believe
all the supposed discourse about the topic, that's topics that are supposed to take place, takes place when people are paying attention to debate the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's over the summer. It's you know, it's the end of the year. I mean, unless you're going to the nationals, you've been done with debate for a long time. Your mind isn't in it. You know, except for if you're a teacher, summer vacation, unless you actually are a debate teacher and doing an institute, you're doing something else. You know, you got your summer job, you know, whatever it is going on, or you got the day job, you know, so, and you're not doing it in, it's not discourse. I'm not talking to anybody. I was sitting down in a room. If we were going over this list and we started talking, we might say, wait a minute, you know, if we had to debate this, blah, 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 you know, but you don't have that situation. And certainly don't have it as a common situation around the country where people are talking about this stuff. So I don't say that the committee is at fault for coming. First of all, it was an old topic that had been done before. Right. And you just don't think about stuff, you know. I mean, you know, it never occurred to them. And then we all looked at this and it never occurred. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute. Yeah, and that's just life, and, you know. So it's a blame-free situation, and no blame. Excuse me, no blame on the people who came up with it. No blame either on the people who didn't realize it until later. Yeah,
that's right.
But it comes out that way. So now we have the situation is there. So the question becomes, how do you deal with the situation at the time? Which is different from the PF topic, because PF topics like come out. Well, at least back then they were coming out of nowhere, and the next thing you knew, you had this PF topic, and you said, "My God!" And PF topic was way different from this, and I mean, it had the same effect on the kids, and that was the real driving issue, was that I wasn't going to ask our Muslim students to debate that issue. But the other thing was, it was hogwash, you know. So I mean, there were two things going on there, but it was the real issue was you weren't going to put your Muslim students in that situation.
Well, right, and from it being I think I am by no means a expert on moral theory at all, but I do a very, very fair to probably more research than a lot on topics, and from the hogwash argument, there just isn't, the literature is just not, it's like how I think people complain or like the argument outside of the kids that were Muslim having to debate this issue that was close to them and forcing them to debate it. And I thought that it was a little bit BS that they went and got the opinion of whatever organization saying, yes, Muslims should have to deal with it. That's not the point. It's that it's so close to every person. But besides the point, the fact that the resolution took on just the talking points with, you know, the uninformed TV talking points of the issue, and not the reality of the situation. To me, I think it's sort of similar with this topic too, that there's the legal side, which would have been much more debatable and much more grounded in where the literature is, and the sort of the, you know, the morality of the situation, which is hard. It's not, there is not much in terms of the academic literature on it, unless you 100% refuse to talk about the topic. That's the irony, is that people having to, like, people are avoiding the topic because it's what you have to do, because they have to try to make these more general rules about morality and so on, and try to extrapolate from that the situation at hand. But that, to me, is the unfairness of it, is because we're trying to abstract a very personal thing and make it into abstract argumentation that seems to defeat the purpose of having a very specific topic. Look, I am 100% in favor of having specific topics and small topics. I think we'd be better off if we did. But in this instance, it's having to apply, trying to apply giant schools of thought to something that is very personal and very individual, and these big schools of thought don't really deal with.
But this becomes a case by case situation. I mean, legally, it's a case by case situation.
Yes. And from a moral perspective, the idea of domestic violence hasn't been a real one for over 100 years. I mean, we only it was a private matter back in the day. It was a, you know, that it was just something that happened, and the wealth of literature on the issue, and that's just from a legal perspective. The moral stuff, it really, having to apply large moral judgment on something like this is what I have a tough time with, because it's just not like the other topics we do, where we do apply large moral, like, yeah, eminent domain or you know, ideas of property and ideas of,
I mean, yeah, something like the eminent domain to me was a great topic, because
I loved it.
You know, it may have been, I mean, everybody had the Kia, what is it, the thing in Connecticut, but you know, the whole subject area, I mean, that's an old law, and it's like society versus individuals, and I love that. You know, I love that kind of stuff. So it has the narrowness of being very, very specific. Narrowness of that, and the broadness of eminent domains in the Constitution. You know, so you know, it's an interesting. That was interesting. You know,
yeah.
And like I said, and it connects to something else. I mean, what power does the government have? Whereas here is more like, well, what happened? Okay, what was the situation,
right,
and what happened, and what could you have done? Requires an analysis of that very specific situation. But there is no situation, because we're making it up. You know, nothing happen.
That's right, we're making it up.
And so the fact that nothing happened, we have no facts to apply. So we can't say, well, this is the legal situation, here's the laws, and here's how the laws apply to what happened. That's a trial, you know. But we don't have any of that information. And so without any of that information, and plus, you're not even saying whether it's right or wrong. You're saying that it's like neither right nor wrong. You're saying it's morally permissible, which is, you know, it's nothing in terms of morality. So it's just not wrong. You know, I mean, having that discussion with a novice who's been around for 3 weeks, let me explain morality. It's not wrong. It's like, what? You know, it's like, how about something that's right? Or how about something that's wrong? No, this is not wrong. It's not right. It's just not wrong. Okay, good. And are there any other teams I could join? You know, it's very strange. narrow topic. Your narrow topics, these public forum topics, that come and go so fast. You just sort of figured one out, the next one comes.
Yeah.
they're damn narrow. They don't go anywhere. But
And there's no list, right? Mm-hmm. Or is there a list?
No. There's some kind of thing that they do. I don't think they publish it. They give you a choice of two, like a month in advance, and you can pick one.
But are they in a similar area?
No, sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't, you know, so it's not like you get to pick the wording or something. I forget what the one that we didn't do was. It had nothing to do with the one we just got chosen at us. And, you know, there is a certain beauty to the fact they go away. So if one is a stinker, and then one came along, I forget what it was, and it was terrible, because it's like the answer is no. No matter how you slice it, the answer is no. But you know that in a couple of weeks, the next one's going to come along, and it won't be like that anymore. So,
yeah
there
I
is,
like that. It's like Law and Order. From the headlines, if you didn't like one episode, you've got another one next week.
Next one's coming up. I mean, think about LD. Now we have this whole situation where we start debating this topic. You know, we start studying the topic in December 1st, and it lasts you for the rest of the year. Yeah, so we talk about becoming policy. Yeah, we do. We have like two topics a year for all practical purposes, and so we have ourselves to blame for that.
Yeah, there is probably some things that need to be done to adjust Lincoln Douglas a bit to the reality of it. And I've even, like I've done before, I've even posited that maybe LD should split, and or at least tournaments should make choices about what sort of LD division they're going to offer. Because, you know, I feel awful when, you know, you get a kid whose coach refused to teach them any new things, debating a kid who, I mean, it's just, It's two fundamentally different activities where, and with two very different, it just seems, it seems like maybe we should, and I know that people will say, no, we shouldn't cannibalize debate and we shouldn't, but I think it could probably, you know, sort of save both, if there was some clarification, or at least, you know, if tournaments chose to clarify divisions, with no, you know, and just say this is the type of tournament we are, or, you know, this is what we're dedicated to, and these are the judges that will be hired, and it's like where we, I don't think we're doing any favors by not being open about this. Ours is a tournament where people are going to go fast, and you have, you know, they're going to run these sorts of arguments, and fair warning. But you know what? There's a tournament down the street that runs the exact same time that offers this other style, or we offer this other style that gets just as big of a trophy and is just as competitive. It's just a different style. It's a different style.
I mean, in a way, we almost de facto have that. But yeah, somebody coming along. I mean, you go to my tournament. You know, I mean, because of the nature of my judges all being hen hud judges and things like that.
Yeah, but that's why your daughter is judging PF now, because they don't pay attention to it, and they piss her off. I'm just making a comment.
Yeah, no, but
I actually 4 years ago I would have agreed 100% with you. I said Bump is the traditional tournament, but even at the supposedly traditional tournament, and this may be a function of what
I agree with you're
saying, which is that you know, you have one division, so one, you know, it's almost inevitable that one, you know, one style of debate is going to assert itself over the other, I guess. When you have a combined, I feel weird calling Wicked Dennis a combined event, but I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. We have people locally
on the other hand, different approaches. There's a combined event and policy debate, because there are radical differences between like a project style team and a policy team, right? And they coexist. So just
what's a project team?
On the other, like the beacon arguments and stuff like super critical arguments and stuff like that.
Or yeah, where it's based, it's narrative and music and
right,
and,
exactly.
You know, those sorts of things, and you know, those. I think that some would say that those things barely coexist, because we have preference.
That's true.
And everyone can, you know, it's all dependent on your judges. And there's some, I mean, and that, you know, it's should we continue to have preference sheets, or, you know, is there an alternative where, you know, that to be like, you just agree to, as a judge, you're not imposing a paradigm onto the round, but you agree to these certain things about, you know, what you pay attention to. But even that privileges a certain type of argumentation. But there are those who would say that this is not a forum for that. That you should, whatever, join the philosophy club or join the Continental Philosophy Club or whatever, right? You know, and so that clash, I guess they call it Clash of Civilizations. That clash exists in policy debate, but there's enough on both sides where they can continue to coexist. And I think that there's enough judges on both sides who are willing to listen to both types of arguments that it can also coexist. The problem with Lincoln Douglas debate is that the Clash of Civilizations, I mean, like when you go to a bid tournament, one is 100% privileged over another. And, you know, and wherever the judging pool can be flooded, because, you know, in front of a circuit judge, ex-debater, and I'm not trying to be condescending at all, but ex-debater who's never been taught certain things with certain numbers of judges, or don't know who the judges are, can't even do their preference sheet because they have no idea, or there aren't enough judges that are their style to make it even worth doing the preference sheet, right? Or, you know, because, you know, that they get mutual threes or twos or whatever. There's just no chance. There's no chance because...
Yeah, I mean, you're hiring the judges that are already predisposed. I mean, John, how many judges do you hire that have never judged LD before?
You're hiring all circuit judges.
Yeah, so, you know, you're...
I mean, I make an effort to have a diverse pool in terms of...
You make
of
an effort, but primarily debate, your
but
judge
but
pool
But it's ultimately
is
undone in some circus. Part by preferences. I mean, it is. I recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, the only way to get around preferences is to have total randomness. And the total randomness would have certain effects on the activity, but I don't necessarily, and I've argued this with P.J. Wexler a lot, I don't necessarily think that that's, like, a good thing to do. I sort of tend to go with the flow. I mean, if LD is going to become X, well, LD is going to become X. And if it's going to become Y, it's going to become Y. And It always seems to change. Every time you turn around, it's a little bit different. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, do it. Yeah, it's that sort of thing. You know, so you just deal with it. So maybe you deal with it by rebelling against it and coming up with these odd kinds of things like policy is done. Or you learn, I mean, whatever. You know, that's okay. That doesn't bother me terribly much. I don't feel that LD is all that broken that it needs to be fixed so much.
I think that we would probably... I think we probably would be... I just got a text message. I think we probably would be... I think it probably would save the activity a little bit if there were tournaments that it were just sort of... I guess... And maybe it is. Maybe de facto there is the two circuits. There's the circuit like in...
I think there is.
Like, and... But why call it the same thing?
But people pick and choose. I mean, we have tournaments around here that have some bids. We have tournaments that don't have bids. Maybe just a finals bid or something like that. But, I mean, I'm not going to name the tournament, but there are some tournaments that you go to and they don't bear any resemblance. I mean, the judge pool is, doesn't know a lot of sophisticated argumentation. If you have a lot of sophisticated argumentation, it's not going to get you anywhere as a debater. And these tournaments happen, and people know it in advance, so they don't send their circuit types to it, but they might send their younger kids to it or other kids who, you know, don't do that kind of thing. And so I think de facto it's already there, around here where we got
some debates. If we're saying they send their younger kids to it, that does kind of imply that it's a... not a serious form of debate.
Exactly. No, I mean, there has to be a place where you can send... why does everything have to be... I mean, we invented younger division. We have novice division so that people can learn. I mean, maybe it's just a place that people can learn. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, I don't want to imply that it's, second-class citizenship of some sort.
It sounds like it is if we're only sending younger kids and kids who... I mean, unless I understand what you're saying.
I have a team where I have nobody who wants to stay with LD because of the
I understand LD that. It is the hardest part of my team now to grow.
Yeah.
Way more kids want to, a lot of kids want to do PF, obviously. But I find that it is way easier to sell policy to my kids than LD.
I think maybe that is the identity
crisis of LD, I think, for sure.
Maybe when you say that, I mean, maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way.
I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm the coach who doesn't know all this stuff, and so I don't pretend that I'm training my kids in this stuff, and so I'm more happy training them in public forum as a result, because I don't do that. I haven't learned all the new stuff that's going on. I don't watch rounds. I watch like 10 rounds a year. That's nothing, you know. I'm not a good critic. I'm not a good critic of the activity, much less a good critic of specific rounds.
I think that's ridiculous. I wish that there were an activity where it were a single person debate, and it did require, you know, not just arguments ripped from the headlines, but could be thoughtful but where there was an agreed upon that judges had a gigantic bullshit filter and where it isn't just a game, where there's persuasion involved and there's these other things involved, because I probably would have a much larger team if we had that. But you know, but there's so much animosity even between teams that has been built because of this clash of civilizations, that it seems like it does have to be sort of agreed upon that we're doing something different here. Like when we go to a local tournament where there's local, you know, when it's I tell my kids, you're going to go slow, you're not going to complain about judges, you're not going to ask for decisions at the end of the round, you're not going to do these things. But at the same time, I feel like people see our school name and say, oh, why are they slumming it here, why do they come here? Mm-hmm. And my kids are like, why are we here? Why do we have to come here? I would rather there just be a separate activity, so I could say this is what this group does and this is what this group does, and and each has its own assumptions about how the game is played. Because right now the game is played in whatever sort of way the judge wants it to play played, and that skews a certain way.
Well, like you said, we had nothing but random judges, and we didn't go out of our way to hire the most experienced college judges.
I mean, that's not right either.
I can train judges.
I think that there are kids that are. I mean, it's also just sort of what the kids have at stake. You know, the kids that are spending 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of summer going to camp and spending thousands of dollars and traveling, they probably deserve a more specialized. You know, I mean, they deserve something that's more like competitive gymnastics or ice or figure skating, where you have experts judging it.
That raises a question. Then we can literally name all the tournaments that have national circuit people because they're all bid tournaments. We all know them. I mean, how many tournaments are there that have nothing to do with TOC at all? I mean, it's not like there's only 20 other tournaments. You know,
hundreds.
There's hundreds of tournaments out there.
I mean, just look at Joy of Tournaments.
And same thing with Tabroom.com. There's tournaments every week that are doing something. Now, are they all trying to be circuit tournaments? I mean, are they all running under the same, general sense of this is how LD is that is going on at my tournament or Bronx or whatever?
They're both called LD Lincoln Douglas, I think is what, I guess, and this might just be me, is what I see, I guess that's what I see the problem to be. Because it just takes one LD judge from the circuit and a couple of LD kids to ruin it, right? They'll ruin it because you'll have that judge mucking it up. And it might just come down to a lack of respect between the two style, the two quote unquote civilizations, and judges not adapting how they judge to the judging pool they're in. But when I go and I judge at the Long, I pick up a couple ballots at the Long Beach tournament or whatever, and it's one kid who, is from a school that where their coach teaches them circuit stuff, and a kid from a school who has no idea stands up and starts with an opening quote, right? Like the kid, and I don't even know how to evaluate those two things against each other in any sort of way that's not going to privilege the kid who knows the art, that's whatever. I don't know how to say it without sounding condescending, because it's not at all what I mean to be, but it's not fair for me to just throw my what I've been known to be as a judge, throw that out the window, and try to evaluate them on a different way or whatever. And it's not fair for me to stop the round, and it's not fair for me to intervene, but maybe that I don't know. You have a tournaments where the place where they do it really well is NFL, where it does slow down quite a bit, and it does, where you see both circuit kids and non-circuit kids doing very well at the end, and there seems to be some level of agreeing upon of the style there.
Well, what is the style? I mean, you've done well at NFL. What's the style at NFL?
I mean, it's much more. I guess what you would say is that it's much more big picture. Right. It's more traditional. But at the same time, I mean, there are rounds that are very sophisticated, and then there are kids that debate in a very sophisticated way there, and those kids do very, very well. So it's not dumb.
Sure,
but it's different.
It's probably what most
I think it's because it is the judging pool that that you would consider to be, yes, these are not all circuit judges, but yes, they 100% should be in the back of round. Kids should know how to win in front of these people,
right?
It's like you or whoever, Merrily Dukes or or whoever, people that know the activity and that can evaluate argumentation, and are flowing and are, you know, paying attention to the rules such as no new arguments, and I think that where the problem starts is when, you know, those tournaments flood themselves with parent judges and
we're untrained parent judges, I think, is the real problem.
Yeah, yes, yes and no. But I mean, I believe, and this is gonna seem awful to you, but you know, with few exception, you try not to have parents in the pool just because of what could be at stake or whatever. And I, you know, I just think it adds a level of, that's, you know, it was weird to have a father of a competing debater judging in the quarterfinals of Emory or whatever, right? That's odd.
Wow, that sounds so wrong to me. I mean, in TAB, I throw all the parents that I possibly can into PF.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah,
because it is all, and you don't have to be terrifically trained, and it is big. All I have to train them is, don't be biased. Just listen to what the kids say, and then go off and don't kill anybody. Yeah, and it's easy to train for PF.
Yeah, and I think I just, you know, if I were king of the world, I wish, you know, that there could be reconciliation amongst sort of the more traditionalist and the more national circuit, that there are things that we could learn from each other in that area, and that, you know, but there's just so much animosity and so much disdain and lack of respect towards the quote unquote other side.
I see that at the coach level, which is really shocks me in that. It's like get real, you know.
Yeah.
but it's true, and it's on both sides. It's not. All these, you know, newfangled people don't like the old farts.
No, it's on both sides.
Yeah, you know, so they're and the trouble is the kids are suffering. I mean, the kids get caught in the crossfire. I mean, like the coaches who refuse to do preferences for their kids. And it's not like all you have to do is like even just a few strikes. You know?
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever it is, because you know, I don't like these people, and I disagree with them. I mean, you can just get on your high horse, or you can pref, you know, pref out, you know.
It just seems like, yeah, if there was just, and this is not the topic we started with, but if there was, you know, just some fundamental things that like, you know, like I try to make it a policy with my team, and I'm not perfect, but I try really hard that when, you know, we don't talk about other schools when we're at tournaments. We don't, like, I don't tell the parents that are there judging. I don't bring parents to judge, but whoever we brought, like, you know, this is the school that does this, and this is the school that does this, and you know, because I hate it when my kids come back and the comment from the judge was, oh, I've judged other Harvard Westlake debaters before, and I know that they're like this. I'm like, well, come on. That starts from the top, though, right? It starts from the head,
yeah.
Like, whatever sort of whatever message is being sent from the top is what the kids and all the judges they bring along are going to believe, and they're not necessarily making their decisions on that thing, but you know, this is an individual kid. It's not the school, it's not me. If you have a problem against me, don't take it out on my kid. Mm-hmm. or whatever, and there's just this animosity that exists, and I wish it could be a different way, and I empathize with both sides. I 100%. You've got one side feeling like the activity's been taken from them, mm-hmm. and you've got another side feeling like the activity's being held back, and I don't, you know, I think both probably should listen to each other a little bit and, I don't know, try to figure it out or something. At the very least, have respect. And not, I can think that the activity should be going one way, but I don't have to belittle people who disagree. Yes,
I don't think you can cure any of that. I mean, you can try. I mean, we do try. I mean, one does try, but it's real hard.
It is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard, especially when you can see a lot of the merits of both sides. But because each thing, like, I mean, just as examples, like disclosing decisions after debate rounds, it's been marked so much by the national circuit that for local schools to do that, there's not even any listening to the value of it, because it's what the national circuit does. Or on the other side, not being buddy-buddy with the kids that you're judging. I can see why yes, people don't like that.
Sure, yeah.
But because that's associated with local debate, the national circuit thinks, oh, you're just being old-fashioned. Yeah, of course, I'm going to make well known which kid I'm really good friends with or whatever, right? It's that so much, like, we have this lack of being able to evaluate things on their merit on their own because the practices are so wrapped up in either being a national circuit practice or being a local circuit practice. And I think that gets in the way quite a bit, because I think there's good and bad on both that probably could make a better activity if we, you know, would be willing to listen.
But we really got off the topic.
We did.
But I think it was still good anyhow. John, are you still with us? I haven't heard you all night. What
listening.
Are you doing?
It's very interesting. No, I'm listening to what you're saying. I mean, before I was going to make the point that I go back and forth on this issue of cannibalization with of the activity, because I think that having four debate events seems, or five if you're going to count Congress as an event too, like as kind of onerous and whatnot. But I sympathize with what Pete's saying. I do wonder how healthy an activity and how self-sustaining an activity a circuit LD only activity would be. It'd be interesting to see what the numbers would be in that. But I understand the point Beats is making. And I think that it's actually, this is very connected to the original topic because, as Beats pointed out, I guess I was mistaken in my idea of who was objecting to the topic. I assumed right away it was a circuit thing, so...
Well, I also think it's connected in the fact that we that I think that this that the clash of civilizations doesn't get talked about openly in sort of a fair way between each side. Like we don't have time. You can't blame anyone for not talking about it. Like I have a very difficult time writing on debate forums and writing because it just takes so much time.
Sure.
But if we were,
I know
gonna,
that.
if we were going to be face to face and to have a discussion about it, or to, you know, have conference calls or whatever, like then we could talk about it. And you know what? There's an empathy in hearing each other's voices and seeing each other's faces that probably would, but we don't do it in person. And I can't blame anyone. We go to tournaments. We want to work with our kids. We want to get in and get out. It's, you know, we can't add extra days. We can't make the kids miss school.
And we're always talking about it, even where we have just sympathetic souls and we all want to talk just to hear ourselves talk. It's just hard to find the time at a tournament, you know?
Yes.
No question about it. I mean, I do want to say, I mean, if we do have this forum, I mean, this podcast is open to anybody who wants to talk to us, you know? I mean,
sure.
You know, we'll be happy to. We don't agree on anything. So having somebody else come in who doesn't agree with this is perfectly acceptable. Yeah.
And great.
I do want to say one thing, and I don't want this to come across as condescending to any of our listeners or anyone on the podcast or anything.
There's only the one listener, you know.
Well, I feel strongly, and I'm not saying this because I'm like I have the right approach or anything like that, but one thing that I am pleased with about what we do in our team is to require that all students who do national competition go to at least one tournament without a bid. And I feel like some of the issue here, and Beats, I think, did a good job of drawing this out in terms of talking about that it comes from the top down, it comes from the coach, et cetera. A lot of this clash of civilizations, I think, is encouraged as much by coaches as it is by the competitors. And
there's no question.
I think that kind of is the elephant in the room. I actually think there is a question about that because I think a lot of times people blame – there's a tendency to blame circuit kids – actually, in a way, it's interesting. I always feel like people blame circuit kids or they blame local coaches. Does that make you know what
yes.
I mean by that? Like that seems to be the dichotomy that's set up. And I think that's completely ridiculous because not only I've seen very self-righteous, if for lack of a better word, local kids, but incredibly condescending circuit coaches. And I think it's all about setting tone. And that's something that coaches, whatever their view on debate may be, it's valuable, as long as we do have one unified LD activity, to have people explore the different worlds of debate. I mean, you get skills from any kind of – I strongly believe that. I don't think that that's corny. Maybe it's like an antiquated thing, but I think you get skills from going to local tournaments, and I think you get skills from going to national tournaments. And the skills, I think, do complement one another. But I guess you probably do get different sets of skills for the most part from going to both. And I think that – I think a student – and I say – I mean, I'm not that old, but I feel like I'm sounding really old right now. But I feel like a student is best served when they get a complete debate education. Like a kid who does 4 years of debate and isn't articulate, I have a real problem with that. On the other hand, I also have a real problem with a student who does debate for 4 years and is a terrible critical thinker, right? Like I feel like they're just – there's value at all different kinds of tournaments, and coaches need to keep that in mind.
I can agree, but I can at the same time, if you look at how my team runs, clearly we don't go to many local circuit tournaments. My kids don't want to go to them. On the West Coast, it's different because when we go to tournaments, we have to switch time zones so much. We have to go so far. Even a tournament that's only in San Diego, you know, we almost have to miss a full day and go the day before because of traffic, right? Like it's just different out here. It's different.
Sure, no, I understand.
And so, and it's just spread out. It's so much more spread out we pick and choose, and I cannot blame any kid, and I can't blame myself for going to tournaments where I know we're going to get good judging, and there's not going to be the randomness of a parent judge even in two rounds or even in a round. And when I say parent judge, I guess I should say lay or similar judge, where we have some control over those things. That and my kids too. It's a hard school, because we have to take extra days when we go to tournaments where we have to travel because we're switching time zones and don't want to risk having to leave after school on Thursday for a Friday round and not getting in or the flight being canceled or whatever, that so we go in a day an extra day or take a half day of school more, that they can't invest in more than that. It's hard to assign, what you want to get out of debate or what you want to be at the end of debate. It's hard to say, there are kids on my team who only do it because it stimulates their mind and they couldn't care if they're good speakers or not. And that's fine. I don't care. They can do that. And we'll go to tournaments and prefer judges that are going to be best for that, for those kids, and because they're not investing any less in it, it's just what they want, and I guess I don't feel like I should tell them no or to say you have to do this other thing or you have to go these. It's not me. That's just not my. It's never been my style. So we have to make choices too. I mean, sure. I go to 25 tournaments a year. I can't keep adding more.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's important.
I'm going to call a halt to this.
Okay.
Because we've been going on for more than an hour. It's been good. It's nice to do this again. We should do this more often. Did we say we're going to start doing it Monday? Did we agree on Monday?
I don't know. But the people outside don't need to know that either.
Well, that's true.
Behind the scenes at
no, we want all those
it's
people.
It's not like we're live.
Well, but people should. We do want people to join us if they want to. Yes. All right. Well, anyhow, this was good. I'm glad we did it.
Cool.
And okay. We'll do it again some other time.
Sounds very good.
Soon, okay.
Take care. Before you go, now we're cutting off.
We're cutting off. Wait a second. Let me cut off then. Okay, we're cut off.
Are you actually off?
Why are you going to complain about something?
I hate.